Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Thursday. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Big show planned for today as we get ready for Super Bowl 54 on Sunday, which you can listen to right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, beginning at 2 o'clock, kickoff at 6:30. And we have a local connection, as we've talked about before, a couple of them, actually. One of them, of course, is Robbie Gould, the kicker for the 49ers from Lock Haven. But Brett Veach, the GM of the Chiefs, is from Mount Carmel. And we are going to have Mount Carmel Athletics Director Greg Sakavage join us at 4:35 today to talk about Brett Veach, the legacy that he's left at Mount Carmel. He recently donated $20,000 to the school to upgrade its weight room. So we're going to talk about all that at 4:35 today. Looking forward to having Greg come up on the show. Also, the King's going to join us today. We're going to do our picks today instead of tomorrow. That'll be at 4:06 today, so we'll do our big game picks coming up at 4:06, so you definitely don't want to miss that for sure. Also, your calls to win the game, 1-800-795-9565. Plus, on a big win for Penn State last night, winning their third in a row, as you just heard from Steve during Inside Penn State Athletics. And I guess one of my main takeaways from that game is, of course, it was a slow start for Penn State. They hadn't been off in a week. It was kind of a sluggish start for both teams. But you look at what they did again in the second half. This is quickly becoming a very good second half team, which is critical for this time of the year. You think about the Michigan game that they were able to win on the road, the way they won this game last night. They made critical plays on both ends of the floor in the second half, especially defensively, where I come in here myself saying Penn State has to be able to take care of the basketball with the way Indiana's been playing, especially at home. But Steve made the great point that they haven't been playing the same on both ends of the floor on the road this year, as a lot of Big Ten teams haven't. And it certainly showed last night as Penn State was able to force 9 second-half turnovers, 17 overall, 15 steals, as you just heard, and they were able to cruise the rest of the way in the second half and pull away for a double-digit win when it was a pretty sluggish type of game for both sides the rest of the way. And another key coaching point again for Patrick Chambers in the second half when his team needed something the most. He did it with Curtis Jones and the way he came off the bench and played for Penn State in the second half in Michigan. Same goes for Byron Jones. After he airballed that three midway through the second half, he told him right off the bat, come shoot it again. Lo and behold, next possession, bang. Nothing but net. Same thing with Lamar Stevens. He airballs that free throw down the stretch in the second half. And Lamar is able to bounce back from that, and he ends up leading the team with a team-high 17 points after only shooting 5 of 17, I think the total was on the night. He started the game 2 of 6. So you're starting to see Patrick Chambers really get into the minds of this team. I know he's taking some slack here and there for his ninth season, but he's now getting players to respond to him, especially in key moments in the game, and that is critical. Now you're at a point for Penn State, and Steve's said this before too, where if you're Penn State, you need to start taking care of your own business. You're starting to get some help after they had that little slide they had before they started this new win streak. Now you've won 3 nice games in a row, games that you've had to pretty much grind it out against, minus the Ohio State game. So 2 out of the 3 you had to grind it out, one of them on the road. And this is the time where you can start really building on these things and start to get on a run. You're now climbing up in the standings in the Big Ten. You're back in the top 25. You're number 24. Could keep moving upward if you keep winning. And now you go and try to keep this going as you go back on the road to Nebraska on Saturday, as you can hear right here on WKOK. So Penn State's in pretty good shape right now at this point. They still have to, I think, find some overall consistency, and Pat Chambers has told you that too. He said at his press conference afterwards last night, I still think this team could be so much better, and I totally agree. I see it. Both sides of the floor. Now, Mike Watkins didn't have his best game last night. He also got a little bit of an injury last night, was able to bounce back from that. Lavar Stevens had an off night. If this team can find a way to just put it all together in a complete 40 minutes, I think they're going to be as good as anybody, and we already know that they've got a lot of good quality wins when it comes to their resume for the NCAA tournament. Last time we checked last week, Steve said they were tied for third in quad one wins, which is huge. And you keep that up, ooh, sky's the limit for Penn State. It really is. So we'll get Steve's reaction to that coming up in a little bit. And then finally, another part of this Kobe Bryant tragedy is going to be tied into the All-Star game. Steve and I have talked about how this won't go away after this week. Everyone's going to break for the Super Bowl, and then it's going to come back into fruition, especially with All-Star weekend coming up in a couple weeks in Chicago. And for that, the NBA has announced this afternoon that they are changing the format of the All-Star game a little bit. Each quarter is now going to be its own separate game with the score going back to 0-0 at the end of each quarter. And then the winners of each of those quarters get $100,000 for charity. And then when you get to the fourth quarter, the start of the fourth quarter, you're going to tally up all three scores from the first three games, the first three quarters. So say the score is 100-95, let's say, with Team LeBron and Team Giannis. Then you're going to add plus 24 to that total. So if the team's up 100-95, the first team to get to 124 would win the game in an untimed, quote-unquote, fourth game. That's one of their many ties that the NBA is going to do to honor Kobe Bryant. And I like it. I've been a big critic of the NBA. I know we haven't gotten a whole lot to it on this show overall, but the NBA, I think it's some parts of it has been stale. I think the All-Star weekend is one of them, Steve, and I think this is a good way for them to do it. But getting back to Penn State, that was a big win last night.
It was a big win. There are various ways to win, and you cannot put forward a football mentality when dealing with how everything goes in college basketball. And this is what I mean by a football mentality. In football, where you're looking at the polls every week and a team wins a game, but it's not the prettiest thing going, and you fall from 4 to 5 or 6, everybody goes, oh, if they just played a little bit better, they wouldn't have dropped it. This doesn't matter. This is completely different. And here's where it's different. Just win. That's all you have to do is just keep winning. Last night offensively, and they've been playing actually really good offense of late. Their offense against Ohio State was terrific. Their offense against Michigan mostly was really, really good. The beginning of the month when they beat Iowa, their offense won the game.
Right.
But sometimes you have to win games with defense. The free throw shooting was lousy. Now, I am not a person that takes shoot around. Just like I'll give you an example. In how do I judge a good week of football practice? To me, a good week of football practice is that every day's good. How do I judge? They practice pretty well this week. Well, there may have been a day where, like, hey, what's this all about? Right. But if I tell you that I think they had a really good week of practice, that means I felt like every single day they did really well and were better than at the beginning of the week. I'm not a person that goes to shoot around and goes, oh, man, they made every shot in shoot around. They're going to be great shooting in the game. Right. No. Okay? No. That's not how it works. Because you got to go out and hit your shots in the game, which is how many hours later. But I will say this about yesterday's shoot-around. Guess what they didn't do well in yesterday's shoot-around? They didn't shoot free throws well. Like, geez. And that's habit forming right there. And they've been shooting the ball of free throws well during the conference. Penn State's 72.3% at the free throw line in conference games. They're 80% in the last 4 minutes. But so they didn't have a good night at the free throw line. Offensively, it was okay. It was okay. And but defensively, there wasn't a single moment in the game last night where defensively you felt Penn State had slacked off. Last night, Indiana had 17 turnovers. 15 of the 17 were on steals. And think of how many passes Penn State knocked out of bounds last night. Those don't go as steals. But it shows how active Penn State was last night. A key component, and if you notice, what's the first thing I asked? And again, these are the benefits of being in. Full disclosure, I get to be at every practice, and I also get to be in film sessions. I'm sitting there. I'm watching scout tape with them and everything like that all the way through. That's why, no matter what, you can, however you want to judge my performance on the air is subjective and how you wish to do it. The one thing you can't say is I'm not prepared. And they give me the best chance to be prepared. So what was the point of emphasis going in? And the first question I asked Patrick last night, Indiana was number one in the Big Ten in conference games in offensive rebounding. Number one. From the 15:59 mark of the second half to the 3:35 mark of the second half, that 12.5-minute span, Indiana grabbed exactly zero offensive rebounds. Part of their offensive success is the missed shot. And Penn State denied them that part of the success for a 12.5-minute span where Penn State essentially put the game away. When Penn State hit those two threes to make it 39-32, you really felt at that point they were on their way. And I think Dick Girardi had had it right on the money. He said the first team to have any kind of mini run was going to do it. Penn State got the mini run. In fact, Indiana just couldn't get anything. It was 5 minutes ago in the game. Indiana had four baskets in 15 minutes. There are many, many ways to win. Do not equate style points in basketball. Now, look, Patrick Chambers wants a much better offensive performance. He wants better ball movement and so forth. But you have to find ways to win. Last night, they found a way to win. And on a night where Penn State didn't play well offensively, they still won by 15 points. So here are, I'm going to come back, I'm going to give you some of the metrics, and we're going to go back to the quad thing in a moment. The next game is Saturday night at 7 at Nebraska. Penn State has never won at Pinnacle Bank before. Nebraska is 7-14 on the year. They're 5-5 at home this year. And Penn State needs to pick up road wins along the way. We'll talk about that in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today. And somebody complained to me earlier today, go, boy, Jamarlin Wheeler just doesn't do anything for them offensively. How do I sit back? I sat back for a moment. I thought, oh, my goodness. All right. Be patient. He is not going to be Cassius Winston at point guard. Okay? Not going to go out and score 18 points like Cassius did last night against Northwestern. He's not going to be that kind of player. Not going to be Tony Carr. But look what he did last night. They put him on Rob Phinisee, who's been playing really well. Phinisee didn't score a point. He had 4 points, so he's 2 of 4 from the field. Okay. Oh, by the way, he had 5 assists, 1 turnover. Penn State only had 7 turnovers in the game. 4 steals, 5 rebounds. And was the single most important player on the floor. Curtis Jones stays hot from the outside, really helps. Miles Dredd is quietly in this role. He took the bad shot when he came off the bench, and that was a bad shot. Comes into the game right away, and he decides to put up a 25 to 30-foot three-pointer. Like, what are you doing? Don't do that. But then after that, he hit a couple threes. He had the big tip-in at the end of the first half. Played really well defensively. In the last 3 games, he's now hitting 50% from the field in the last 3 games and 50% of his threes the last 3 games. It's gone under the radar because he's only taking a few here and there. He's not taking like 10, 12 shots a game like he was as a starter. He's not taking that many shots. But now he's starting to cobble together a little bit of a streak. Now, Isaiah Brockington, on the other hand, has to get himself going offensively. He has 10 double-figure games this season, but during the 3-game winning streak, he has not been productive offensively. And Lamar Stevens is 6 points away from 2,000 in his career.
Got to number 3 on the all-time scoring list last night, too.
Yeah, he went past Joe Crispin. All right. So we're going to talk about metrics and quads in the next half hour. I mean, Matt's been bragging about his quads the entire time, but that is not what we're going to talk about. That's not the quad we're speaking of.
Listen, the only quads that can speak for themselves is Saquon Barkley's, because I've seen them in person.
And the suits.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us. The King on the next half hour, by the way. Talk with him. And this is the big showdown between Matt and the King.
For all the marbles in the football picks. For second place, I should say.
Yes, you should say that.
Because you're one.
Finally. Hey, going into my 9th year of hosting the show, I finally got it right for once.
But hey, you and I are tied for first and after the first week of our basketball picks.
Yes, that's true. Yes. He did send us a series of games.
Yes, we will do those first, and then we'll save the Super Bowl for last.
Wow. This is going to be very interesting. Between the two of you. All right, and we're going to talk with Greg Scavage, from Mount Carmel, the athletic director.
Yes, Greg Sakavich, yep.
Yep, and he'll be joining us as well. We were going to have the suit on about his Super Bowl prediction, but after gauging audience interest, we dropped the segment. All right, so I can't stand this guy. All right, let's get to the. I want to get to the quad system for a moment, and also to the metrics. Look, Penn State basketball, as I mentioned earlier, you can't apply the same logic between college football and college basketball. You know, it's margin of score, things like that, style points, how teams look. You know, when you're constantly sitting there in a college football season and the team drops a spot, you're like, what do you mean they dropped a spot? Because the other guy looked better. I mean, college basketball is a marathon, and it gets to the point where you just got to win. And I go back to when Penn State was struggling. And it was at a time where Alabama went and won at Auburn. Georgetown that same night beat Creighton. Syracuse beat Virginia. And I said that here's the bottom line. Penn State is actually getting a lot of help from the teams they beat. I said, now the bottom line is Penn State needs to go out. Remember I said this, Matt? Penn State needs to go out and help itself.
Which they have done.
And since that point, they have beaten Ohio State, beat Michigan, and beat Indiana. So right now, the metrics look like this. And there's still 5 weeks to go, so there's still a long way to go in this marathon. But this is the position Penn State's put itself in. The net is very important as one of the systems that the selection committee looks at. It's one of the tools. It's not the be-all, end-all, but you have to have certain tools that you work with that help you out in that selection room. And that tool, these tools are used not just to get in the tournament, they're used to seed. In the net, which has replaced the RPI, Penn State is 24th after last night. Okay. Ken Pomeroy has told us on the show that privately he'll have some people talk to him about his rating system. Well, Penn State's 18th right now in that rating system. And Penn State is also not just 18th, but they're playing the 19th rated schedule in the country. Now let's get to the quad system. And I talked about this a week ago on the show, but I'm going to reiterate it. You hear the terms quad 1, 2, 3, and 4 thrown out there all the time. Now, Penn State really has not been heavily involved in this conversation. They were heavily involved in it 2 years ago. And the complaint 2 years ago was Penn State has the three quad 1 wins, but they're all against Ohio State. So that ended up being, quote, held against them. Okay. That's fine. But you heard the term. Last year, it didn't really come into play. And, of course, before 2018, it really didn't come into play either for a while. So these are terms you've been hearing. And, yeah, you hear them, but you don't really go in depth as to what they mean. And I completely understand that. That's where somebody like me has to come into play, where you take a few moments when you get a couple of hours to do it, since that's what we have, to explain it. And then to explain how it then plays out for Penn State. So a quad one win, and I said this a week ago, but just let's just do a quick refresher. If you beat any team ranked 1 through 30 at home, that's a quad one win. If it's 1 through 50 on a neutral floor, quad one. 1 through 75 on the road is a quad one win. If you beat anybody 31 to 75, because I think it says 1 through 30. 31 to 75 at home, that's quad two. 51 to 100 on a neutral floor is a quad two. And then on the road, a quad two win is anywhere between 76 and 135, okay? So those are the basics. So right now, the program that has more quad one wins than anybody is Kansas. They have eight. They're 8-3 in quad one games. They are also 4-0, by the way, in quad two games. Baylor is right behind them at 7 quad one wins. Seton Hall has 7 quad one wins. In fourth is Butler with 6 quad one wins. And Penn State is 5th with 5 quad one wins. Penn State not only has 5 quad one wins, Penn State, with last night's victory over Indiana, now has 4 quad two wins. Penn State is 5-3 against quad one teams. Penn State is 4-1 against quad two teams. That means against quads one and two, Penn State is 9-4. Also, think of it this way. Penn State's 15-5. That means 60% of their wins have been against either quad one or quad two. Penn State, as I mentioned, is 24 in the net, 18 in the KenPom. Some of you look at the Sagarin ratings. Penn State's 19 in that, and they're 20 in the ESPN BPI. Penn State is not only 24th in the net, but Penn State has the 22nd best Q score in the country. At 21, the next spot up from Penn State is Michigan State. Oh, and by the way, Penn State has 5 quad one wins. Michigan State has 4. Okay, Penn State and Michigan State have each played 8 quad one games. Penn State's 5-3, and Michigan State is 4-4. Both Penn State and Michigan State each have 4 quad two wins. They're both 4-1. So I hope that gives you at least some level of perspective as to how Penn State has done. Duke has 4 quad one wins. Kentucky has 4 quad one wins. Gonzaga has 4 quad one wins. Villanova has 5, same as Penn State. In fact, Villanova's 5-3 in quad one, just like Penn State. San Diego State's number one in the net. They're the one undefeated team in the country. Haven't been touched. They're 21-0. Won last night. I mean, they won big last night in New Mexico. They're a good team. San Diego State has 4 quad one wins, 4 quad twos. They have 9 quad four wins. The nature, part of that is the nature of their conference. But they have 9 quad fours. But they are 4-0 in quad one, 4-0 in quad two, and 4-0 in quad three. Gonzaga, 4 quad one wins, only 1 quad two. They're 1-0. And they have 7 quad threes and 9 quad fours. Again, that's the nature of the conference they play in. You're not going to be able to go out. I mean, you're not going to be able to go out and go, whoo, they beat Pacific. Even though we all know Gonzaga is really, really good. Let me give you another team that's really, really good that you might not know about. And that is Dayton. Dayton's a 19-2 team. Now, last night they beat Duquesne. Now, Duquesne's a good team this year. A lot of people don't really know that, but Duquesne is actually good. And Dayton won by 4 at Duquesne last night. Duquesne, by the way, is not playing at home right now. I think they played that game. I don't think they played that game in Consol Energy. I think they played the game at Robert Morris because they're redoing their arena. Dayton is a really good team. They're 19-2, so they won by 4 last night. And Dayton is 3-2 against Quad 1, 4-0 against Quad 2. They got 7 Quad 3s and 8 Quad 4 wins. But they're another really good team that, I mean, in fact, they're bordering on being an excellent team. If Dayton were in the Final Four, I would not fall over. I would not be shocked. But I hope this gives you a better perspective on what has been accomplished so far. There's a lot more work to do. I mean, you need to go on the road. You need to get this game on Saturday. You need to. Nebraska is one of those teams that's going to play a lot of... I mean, in Nebraska, they do a lot of the NBA stuff, Fred Hoiberg does, which means you really want to... They want to get layups, dunks, threes, and free throws. They're not really a mid-range game. And that's how they want to defend, too. So it's a lot like how Michigan plays, a lot like how Alabama plays. But I hope this gives you a better perspective. And we'll keep updating and reiterating this as time goes. And while Patrick Chambers wants, obviously, you want to hit free throws at a 70 to 75% clip. You want a better, more consistent offense. Penn State's offense in the first half just could not get it done. Second half, they actually found some rhythm in the second half. Not great, but they found some rhythm in the second half. Their defense was in rhythm all night. You will win a ton of games when you give up only 49 points. And this goes back to what I said yesterday about Indiana. I don't think statistically I said it, but I'll say it statistically now. Penn State has to go back to Assembly Hall and play them in a couple weeks. Indiana at home in Assembly Hall, where they played the vast majority of their games this year, is 1.10 points per possession at home. But there's 0.848 points per possession on the road. And last night they were 0.7 against Penn State. They're just a dramatically different offensive team on the road, and Penn State made it even worse for them last night. 17 turnovers. Of the 17 turnovers, 15 were steals. And those deflections out of bounds by Penn State don't count as steals. They don't count as turnovers. That's how swarming Penn State was last night. And from the 15:59 mark of the second half to the 3:35 mark to go in the game against a team that's number one in the Big Ten in offensive rebounding, Penn State did not give up a single offensive rebound to Indiana. That was big-time defensive basketball. Don't relate style points. The key is keep winning. Now, do you want to see better offense? No question. Better free throw shooting? No question. Because that's going to come into play at some point. But this is not like college football, where you're sitting there saying, oh, man, they won the game, but boy, and score a lot of points. And all of a sudden you go, oh, man, they fell. I knew it. They fell from 7th to 8th. Oh, no. That's not this. This is keep winning. That's what this is. Keep winning. They don't sit there in the room and go, wow, boy, did you see that performance? Boy, I know they won by 15, but I don't think they ought to be in the tournament when you play like that. Ooh. What Quad 1 and Quad 2 represents quite simply is this. It shows the committee that you not only have the ability to be in the tournament, you have the ability to advance in the tournament. Because Quad 1s and Quad 2s are against other teams in the field. Long way to go. It's a marathon, but that's what they've accomplished to this point. Next step is Saturday at 7. We're on at 6:30 at Nebraska. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. And wow, did you want to have a fun day in 2019? Sunbury Motors increased their year-over-year new Hyundai sales by a whopping 70%. Customers near and far are noticing the savings at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. 2020 Hyundai Tucson's have a discount of over $4,000. New Tucson's start at $22,863 with 25 in stock. Sunbury Motors has 12 2020 Hyundai Kona in stock, starting at $22,585. Save up to $28,35 on your next new Kona. 70% increase in sales is huge, and so are the savings at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Choose from 20 Hyundai Santa Fe's with savings up to $45,71. All new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry to Sunbury Motors Hyundai to see how they increase sales by 70%. Sunbury in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Are you okay, Matt?
I'm good.
Because obviously an imposing figure was in the studio during the commercial break.
He had to vent out some frustration after a tough one last night, that's all.
But why'd you let him scream at me like that?
That's just the nature of his voice.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean
I'm used to it by now. I've done games with him long enough.
We have an AM problem. Okay? Anger management. Yelling and screaming. Right? And then when I told him I wasn't the chief, I think he's losing it. So, you know, he's telling us about how he handed it off to our game last night. As soon as obviously I can't tell who's doing what. We're on a network. I guess the second he handed it off to us last night, and here's Steve Jones and Dick Girardi, I took him to a commercial break.
That was impeccable timing.
No, I don't know he's doing that.
On his part.
I mean, there's, no offense, there's 49 other stations. So, you know. But, yeah. Now, when's the next game?
Let me see.
And what do we have wrestling coming up?
Let's see here. Got to check on our sports schedule.
By the way, there's hockey this weekend. Notre Dame's here. Friday, Saturday. That's going to be really cool.
Well, that's a big one, yeah.
Wrestling at Iowa tomorrow night. The world is acting as if Penn State doesn't have a chance. Fine. Think that all you wish. I think that's going to be a dynamic dual meet. I am really anxious to watch that tomorrow night.
So Shikellamy's home against Selins Grove for Rally in the Valley on the 5th. So that's next week. And wrestling is back on the mat at Milton on the 6th.
Okay. So that's Wednesday, Thursday.
Correct.
Perfect. That means you'll hear Penn State basketball Saturday night at Nebraska, and then Tuesday night at Michigan State. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.